You're listening to Building the Game with Rob and Jason.
It's Building the Game with Jason and Rob. For tabletop game design, you really can't go wrong. Building the game, yeah, building the game.
Hello and welcome to Building the Game, a documentary podcast. Today is Monday, February 20th. 2017, you're listening to episode 296, did I say? No.
296. Whoa, almost to 300.
No,
247.
There it is. Words, numbers, I struggle. My name's Rob, that's Jason.
Hello.
It's another thing that we're doing. We do this every week.
We do.
Yeah.
Just for you builders
who
keep listening for some reason.
We got some treats here in front of us.
We do. You brought these. Where did you get these at?
I got these at World Market.
Aha.
World Market here in town.
I thought that price tag looked familiar.
Yeah,
there.
I go there sometimes for cheer wine, but I was there the other day and I found Sioux City Prickly Pear.
It's red.
Yeah. So I like the Sioux City Sarsaparilla.
Yeah, that's some good stuff.
That's good stuff. So this is their prickly pear soda, and we're going to give that a try here. It's a good hiss. And let's give this a taste here.
That is an interesting flavor.
It is. It's
It tastes like pear.
It's a little bit, kind of tastes kind of like fruit punch, though.
Yeah, it to me it tastes like red pop mixed with pear.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Stacey, thanks for bringing it.
Yeah, sure. That's all right.
I mean, I'm not going to go buy a six pack, but I'll enjoy drinking it.
Yeah, yeah. Right. I agree. All right. Well, there you go. There's a little soda.
My favorite one that I found recently at Shipshawana that next time we go, I'll get a six pack of it so that we can try some.
Sure.
And the show is Frosty Blue Cream Soda.
Frosty Blue Cream Soda.
Yeah. And it's cream soda, but it is blue, and I don't know if there's like a hint of, or if it's like your mind says it's blue, so it tastes different.
Mm.
But it's got like a hint of something
in there,
and it's just fantastic. Best cream soda I've had. Okay. Love it. So
good to know.
I'll have to get some next time. And
yeah. Christine's a big big fan of cream sodas.
You're gonna say Shipshawana.
No, she used to work in Shipshawana.
I know that's why.
Yeah, right. But yeah, she's a big fan of cream soda.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So what's new? How you doing?
Oh, doing all right.
Okay.
Not super exciting stuff. It's too late for people to do anything about this now, I'm sure, but there was a sale on games, iPhone games for Valentine's Day.
Oh, yeah?
Which happens to be today. So I picked up Potion Explosion
for
my iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
Potion Explosion, Mr. Jack Pocket.
Oh, cool.
Which is really exciting. And I think I'm going to pick up Colt Express, too. I've never played that, but I've heard...
Right.
You know which one that is, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's like the 3D train.
Right.
I've heard good things about it.
Yeah.
So I thought I might give it a try.
A lot of people have taken pictures of Saloon Tycoon with Colt Express, because it's all three-dimensional stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
But anyways, they're normally $4.99, on sale for $2.99.
That's a good deal.
So for $6 instead of $5, you can get two games, which is pretty awesome.
That's pretty cool. Right on. Yeah, I'm still playing Gems of War, which is the Puzzle Quest free-to-play game. I'm playing way too much of that game. It's my new obsession.
Yeah, my current obsession here, so I realize I didn't turn my phone into airplane mode, and I should do that so that we
hear
lots. My current obsession is Tower Conquest.
Tower Conquest. It's a tower defense game.
It's a tower defense game, but it's different. It's just two-dimensional, and you're just walking straight across the screen. Like, it is a castle and a castle, and they come out, and you come out, and you just try and bash them, and you only have 5 units to choose from, and there's hundreds of units, but you put 5 together, and you make your little army. And you upgrade your armies, you go and you train them and stuff. And so Josiah really likes it, so we play it together. So it's a good time. Smash the bad guys, as he says.
Yeah.
Smash!
So Gems of War, you got to level up your monsters. You collect souls. And every time you kill a monster in a battle, you get their soul. And then you use souls to level up your monsters, okay? And, you know, and to level them up from level 1 to level 2 is like 10 souls.
Right.
You know, and level 2 to 3 is like 15 souls, but 3 to 4 is 25 souls, and before you know it, you're at 200 souls to level up.
Right.
And I'm kind of like, well, you know, I guess this is a long game here, right? I'm only getting four. I managed to get some new armor, so I collect 50% more souls. So now in every battle, I'm getting six souls. If it's a four, you know, four monsters that I'm fighting in the battle. And, okay, all right. And then I in the message box, you know, in the game, there's a message from the devs saying, sorry about the server outage. Here's a gift for all the players. And it was 2,000 souls.
Oh, man.
I'm like, dude, 2,000 souls? Wow, nice. So I could level up a bunch of stuff. And that was pretty cool. And then I decided to join a guild.
Mm-hmm.
And now, like, every day, general guild rewards, I'm getting, like, you know, 500 souls, and I'm getting a bunch of gems and special keys to unlock chests. And I'm just raking it in, and it feels really good.
It's that
little endorphin rush, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you use a key to open a chest, and when you open the chest, it shakes for a minute, and then it shows, ta-da, here's the thing you got. And it's like it's that surge of pleasure, and anticipation, like what's going to come? Oh, it's a thing that I already have.
Right.
But that's okay, because I can feed the monsters to the same monsters, and then they can level up, and they can grow and become stronger. You know,
so nothing is really wasted.
And sometimes I get more gold, and that's okay. I can buy more keys with more gold. And it's just, it's a churn, you know, constant reward, constant escalation. But something about it is just, it's just got its hooks in me, man.
Yeah, I understand. Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes was like that with me for a while.
Yeah.
It's the same type of thing. Once you join a guild, you can get things you can't get anywhere else, you know, like, and it's... It's fun, but there's another game that my kid likes when I play, mm-hmm. and he actually can just play it on his own now. Like, I'm just like, here you go. You've got this much energy. Go stop some bad guys. And, I'd be like, go kill some bad guys. And he's like, Dad, we don't say kill. I'm like, okay, go stop some bad guys. But now I literally just play for him. Like, mm-hmm. I just every day spend like 10 minutes like doing all the little quests and stuff, which I can do in no time because mm-hmm. it earns a bunch of stuff that makes the guys better for him to play with. So, it's basically become his game, which I manage for him because he's four. So he doesn't understand anything but smashing bad guys.
That's fine. That's totally fine. Anyway, this is the first free-to-play game that I've played in a long time where I've seriously considered spending money on it.
That's how they get you.
The downside, though, is that I can't just spend 99 cents on it. Like, the cheapest thing is $5.
That always frustrates me when they do that, because there's a lot of games where, like, 99 cents gets me an edge. I'll just do it. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, oh, it's 99 cents, and the game was free, so whatever. But when this Tower Conquest game, mm-hmm. I've still not spent any money on it, even though you get a really good payout the first time,
mm-hmm.
because it's $4.99. And, like, even if it was $2.99, I probably would have done it, because there are times when I've been like, oh, I need a few more gems.
Yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But they also know that there's tons of people that will spend that much money. So my favorite is, it's always like, this is good, this is better, this is best value, $99.
Best value, right. It's because it's the best value, Jason.
It is.
You should just buy that one.
Right, oh, $99. Yeah, my wife wouldn't be like, oh, what's this Apple receipt for $99?
No big deal. No big deal, nothing to worry about. She wouldn't even notice.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
I also played Tausch Rausch.
Yeah, hate you.
Oh, man, that game is so much fun.
It is.
The game is so much fun. I love Tausch Rausch. Oh, well worth it. Well worth it.
But, Tausch Rausch.
Tausch Rausch by Ravensburger.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Or as we say in America, Ravensburger.
Ravensburger. Yeah. Yeah. So what's our topic for tonight?
Our topic for tonight is... Let me pull it up here on Twitter. This was recommended by Seth Jaffe.
Mm-hmm.
We asked for a topic, and I don't know what he exactly was hoping to get us to talk about with this, but I immediately had a reaction to it. And so I actually don't even look it up. I can think I can just speak on it.
Sure.
So what he said was, what makes the difference between a new game with a clever new mechanic, right? Mm-hmm. Something you've never seen before, which happens sometimes, and a truly great game that will be fun forever, basically, like a classic game, mm-hmm. like a evergreen, as we say sometimes, right? Is that you? Do you feel like that was the gist of it?
I think he was saying he was thinking we should talk about how do you make that decision, or what are the positives and negatives of coming, go trying to develop something entirely new, or just going back to familiar and well-known mechanics and interfaces, and just trying to make them as polished as you possibly can.
It's literally what I said, with just different words. So,
but communicated better.
Not really. Better than Seth communicated it, for sure. But, you know, okay. Some people aren't good communicators. Let's talk about this topic.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you have to say?
You want me to start out?
Sure.
Well, the very first game that came to mind to me was Camel Up. Like, that was boom. Like, when mm-hmm. I read that was the first thing that popped in my mind. It was a game where I played it and I was like, oh my gosh, this game is amazing, right? It's got these, wow, whoa, look what's happening, right? Mm-hmm. And it's all because of this system where the camels are riding the camels, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I've played that game, and the more I've played it, the more just okay it's been, right?
Mm-hmm.
And really, that I think is a great example, right, of a game where there's kind of a different mechanic. It's a different take on something, right,
mm-hmm.
that gets your attention. But is it a great game for the long haul? And it won the Spiel, right?
Which yeah,
is
right.
funny, but I mean, not every game that wins the Spiel is the most amazing game in the world, right?
Sure.
I'm sure of that. But anyways, so that was the first game that kind of popped in my head of like, boom, this is a game with a cool, but I mean, there's lots of them, you know, lots of games where you see just a fun new mechanic that really gets your attention. It's very attention grabbing, right? And mm-hmm. I think, first of all, I think that's the reason that those games are done most of the time, right?
Sure. Yeah.
To get attention. But we live in a society right now, and we have kind of a game design, or a game market, I guess, where that is, that's what you do to get attention, right? You want to succeed on Kickstarter, mm-hmm. do something weird that gets people's attention, or minis, but. You know, I mean, really, that's how you get someone's attention, is by doing something mm-hmm. Different, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is that doesn't make it necessarily a good game. In fact, this is something we've talked about before, that it can actually do the opposite, right? Of being so unfamiliar that it sure. thereby just kind of becomes hard to relate to mm-hmm. when you're actually trying to teach the game. Sure, when you see it.
At least a larger barrier for entry.
Right.
Yeah.
And once that mechanic gets not new and shiny, mm-hmm. it kills replay value.
Well, not by default. It can. More likely to because the excitement of the new thing wears off.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah.
What are your thoughts?
No, well, I mean, I agree with all that. So new and different and yeah, like you said, this is going to get more attention. It's going to get more attention from publisher, more attention on Kickstarter. People are going to go, mm-hmm. ooh, what is that? I've never seen that before. Let me see what that is. Let me try that. And that's good, and that's healthy, and it's easier to get noticed, which is, I think, why a lot of people try and push for that right now.
Right.
But there are reasons why classic games are classic games, and they use classic mechanics. I mean, there are reasons why Catan is Catan and it is the juggernaut that it is,
right?
Because it's, you know, place your pieces and roll some dice,
right?
You know, and trading,
collect some resources, manage yeah. said resources,
right.
trade with each other.
I mean, there's nothing complicated about those mechanics, and they're put together in a way that works and is easy to get your head around. And so there are reasons why that stuff matters. So I think. Yeah. Trying to think about what else to say that we haven't already said here. I guess you and I spend a lot of time trying to think about new approaches or new styles, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think we keep trying to want to make a mark in some way, don't we?
Yeah, I think that's... You know? I mean, you accomplished that somewhat with Saloon Tycoon, right? I mean, you did something different.
Yeah.
Right? But I'll say this with Saloon Tycoon... I'm trying to think of how to say this. It's a positive, but like the stacking. Okay, so if you took the stacking away from that game,
mm-hmm.
the game is still just as fun. The game is not nearly as eye-catching, right?
Sure.
Right. You were looking for something eye-catching, right? And something that was just different. And
mm-hmm.
and building 3D was different. But what you fortunately did was you made a really good game around that. It wasn't just something that's like, oh, wow, look, I build stuff.
Sure.
Okay, you know, if you'd made the tower building game, right?
Yeah.
That was that game.
Sure.
Unique mechanics, kind of cool, super boring.
Sure, right, right.
So I think that's, and that's where I think people struggle, because nowadays you don't always get publishers that are going to do a bunch of development, mm-hmm. right? Or you're not going to do a bunch of development. So that cool, shiny thing gets shoved to Kickstarter really fast. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now granted, again, with Saloon Tycoon, you and AJ did a lot of development on that.
We sure
that.
Did, yeah.
Right. A lot of back and forth, a lot of balancing, a lot right. of things to make sure that, you know, and AJ specifically said he was looking for a game that would be good for the long haul, sure. right?
And yeah, I want to say Evan as well. Evan was
right.
A big,
yeah, sorry.
Big,
yeah. Of course. Yeah, I didn't want to discount that. Yeah. So I think that that is, you know, that's important with that.
Yeah, yeah. Hmm. So, yeah.
Someday, Rob. Mm-hmm. So there's all these deck building games in there. Oh, well, you know, so people could say Dominion or Eminent Domain, like two of the early, early games, right, are the founders of that mechanic mm-hmm. of deck building, mm-hmm. right? Someday, when there's a million games that build up, they'll be like, Rob Couch, that mm. guy. So
yeah. Well, we'll see about that. So far, there's two. There's Saloon Tycoon and Pagoda.
Yeah, but I heard a ton about Pagoda the first year it came out, and you were like, oh man, it's another yeah. building game. Because at that point, I mean, AJ was already working on your game. AJ and Evan were, right? I mean, they were publishing it. Or were they not?
No, not yet.
Point?
No. Uh-huh.
No? Okay.
That was year before I took that to Unpub, yeah.
And it's scary when that happens. Mm-hmm. And I haven't heard people talk about Pagoda in a long time, but I hear people talk about Saloon Tycoon. That's what I hear.
You also know me, so.
Yeah, but I also hear people talk about it.
Yeah.
Saw your game on some top 10 lists. I did not see Pagoda on those lists.
Well, that's true.
Well, I don't know. Pagoda might be a great game.
No, sure. No, it was fine when I demoed it. It was fun. It was a very different game. But anyway, okay. So what we're talking about here, we're saying, it's okay. It's okay to want to be different, and that's fine. And I think this hobby needs new ideas and new approaches and new mechanics, if not necessarily new mechanics, new ways to combine those mechanics. And
right.
So this industry is healthier for having that stuff.
Right.
But, designers shouldn't feel like they have to, right?
Right.
You know, the important thing is you're making a fun game.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with just putting a lot of polish on, I don't want to say old mechanics and old functions. I want to say trusted mechanics and trusted functions. I think it's a better way to put it.
Right.
Yeah.
And I do think that, you know, if you're looking to be innovative, you know, like you said, find a couple of mechanics mm-hmm. that are really tried and true and combine them in a way that hasn't been done, that you sure. haven't seen done. And that, you can make a mark doing that too,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
I mean, it doesn't have to be some big crazy thing, you yeah. know?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm enjoying doing that, taking that approach with Eight Arms to Hold You. Just, you know, it's simple trick taking and it's simple press your luck and kind of smash them together. And I think it's super fun.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, there's nothing unfamiliar about it, you right. know, and but it's a blast. So that's been fun to work on, kind of a different approach, and I don't have to worry about what are people going to think about this mechanic. Is this going to be unfamiliar? Is this going to catch them off guard? Are they going to have trouble interfacing with this? Because it's already a super familiar approach. So just mashing those two things together has been fun.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Should we move on? Is it time for you to pitch a game?
I can. Yeah, I can. Okay. I felt like we covered the topic really quick, but we do have some voicemails we could listen to as well. Okay. So I decided to pitch a game that I thought would be a little different. I'm trying to make my mark, be innovative.
Okay.
No. I honestly just thought I'm going to pitch something silly, and I came up with a title, as I often do, and when I come up with a title,
yeah,
that just kind of leads me into a game, and I was actually thinking about a different game challenge we could do, and that gave me a title, and we decided not to do the pitch challenge, and so I thought, well, what am I going to do with this title? Because I like this title, mm-hmm. and so that was my goal, was to take that title and turn it into a game, and hey, I did that. So, all right, I'm pulling it up here.
Stalling for time.
Well, my iPhone chugs away. Okay, so this is a card game. It is a 54-card game, because that is that's my kind of my default, right? Is can I get it to 54 cards?
It's your safe zone.
It is, you know. It's a good starting point for me. And if I'm going to design a card game, I like to think really heavily about card counts, because so many of my games, the way you use the cards, it really, the card count matters a lot, because you really use the cards and you cycle through them. And so I just like to think about that early in the design. That's important to me. So the name of this game is Sorry About Your Luck.
Okay.
In this game, players vie to prove they are the unluckiest person by having the worst possible day. So that's the idea of this game, is players are unlucky people.
I want to have a bad day in this game.
Yes.
Okay.
The winner has the word, the unluckiest day, right? Okay. So this is a pretty simple game, but I want to talk through some ideas that I have with it to see if we could make it a little more complex.
Okay.
So the like I said, 54 cards. Now, the cards are divided into four different types of cards: morning, noon, night, and work. Now, your day, you're going to try and make this really bad day for you out of cards, right? Now, I should say that the four different types of cards have different backs. So you know, based on the back of the card, what you have, right?
Okay.
Every player is going to be dealt seven cards, and there are five parts to your day. And it is morning, work, noon, work, night, right? So the work cards get placed twice. It gives you a little more flexibility. Now, a little more information about these cards. Some cards are very, very bad cards, which means good, right? Mm-hmm. Some cards are actually good cards, and they're like good things that happen to you. Like, oh, I got a raise, or I didn't miss the bus, right? You know? Yeah. So if you're
I got the best seat on the bus.
Right, exactly, right? So those are giving you positive points. All the other points on these cards are negative.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in addition to that, just because I want to make sure people understand the cards have connectors on them, right? So I'm not exactly sure that's going to work, but the idea meaning that if I play a certain morning card, that will have, say, a dot or an arrow to a certain point on the card, right? If the work card I play matches that, then I'm going to get extra points for that. And the reason being, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I can play another work card there, but the matching is because those events roll together, right? Like if this unlucky event happened, it's very likely this is what would happen next. Therefore, you want to put those together.
Okay.
So you don't actually play your cards till the end of the game. What'll happen is you'll have seven cards in your hand. All the other players can tell which cards you have, but they can tell which, whether they're
part of the day.
Yeah, what part of the day they are. And so on your turn, you're going to have a couple choices. One, you could, you know, remember, you only need five cards to the end of the game. So you could discard one of your cards face up to a discard pile, take a card off the top of the deck blindly. Now, remember, you can tell what part of the day that card is. Alternatively, only once during the game, you could discard two cards out of your hand and draw the face-up card off the discard instead, right? You can only do that once during a game, because then you would be down to five cards,
sure,
or six cards, as it would be. So you would never have more cards to do that with, right? And so that was an easy way to limit that to once per game. And it's very powerful, because you're picking exactly what you want.
Mm-hmm.
The other option is I could say to the other players on my turn, hey, I got a morning card I want to trade. I'm looking for a night card. Anybody have one? Now you could say, no, but I have a noon card. I have a work card, right? But I don't know what card it is, right? Mm-hmm. So we're making kind of a blind deal. So that's why if no one will trade with you, always have the option of picking up a card instead, right? And the reason I didn't let you always take a card off that's face up, because I feel like no one would ever trade then, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because with that information, it makes it very easy to know this is what I want.
Yeah.
Now, alternatively, I did think you could have multiple draw piles so that there were always theoretically more than one option. But I don't know if that'd be necessary or not. There's only four types of cards. So I feel like statistically, most of the time, you should get those to cycle somewhat.
Well,
I mean, you could get clumps, obviously, right?
Yeah.
You know, you get the who shuffled this moment. But so the game ends when one person declares that they think they have the worst day, right? And that at that point, they say that. And then every other player gets to take another turn. They can trade with each other still. But the person who called it cannot do anything else.
So they have to call it, they put their cards down.
Well, they don't
face
put their,
down.
Maybe. Yeah, face down. Yeah. So they've locked themselves in, and then after that, everyone reveals the player who went out first is going to get a small bonus, point bonus or negative, in this case, and then all the other players will do the same, and then the lowest score wins. With some, you know, with the connectors helping to lower your score even more. So that's the game.
So you need to get 5 cards in 4 types. You need 2, call them A, B, C, D. You need 2 type A and 1 B, 1 C, 1 D.
Correct.
Okay. And you can trade. And you can discard one to draw one.
Yep.
And you can discard 2 to take the top of the discard.
Yes.
And that's how you get cards.
Correct.
Okay. So when you're getting cards to your hand from the deck, normally it's just a total random draw. Mm-hmm. But you know what category the top card fits into. Because you can tell from the card back.
Right.
I might like it better if there's three stacks to draw from.
Yep, that's so
you
fair.
You have a little more variety. You're more likely to
so there's
be able
no
to get
guarantee,
what you want.
Right? They could all be 3 knights,
right?
But
you know, odds change a little bit with that.
Of course.
Yeah. I'm not good at math. I'm not going to pretend that I know those odds, but it feels
right.
like
what they would. Yeah,
right.
Well, there's 3 options, right? So yeah, the right. chances of those all being the same are less than if it was just 1.
I think so. That's what my
I'm pretty confident.
I'm not
that's
good
the
at
case.
Math. I've been
ben
called
Pinchback
out.
Ben Pinchback might tell me I'm wrong because he's smart about that stuff and he has before.
I've been called out by other designers for arguing erroneously about odds. So
right.
Give myself some room to be wrong there. Anyway, so I think you should be able to lock in a card to do something else.
What if you lock in a card that allows you to draw an extra card?
Draw 2?
Well, even draw 1, because that again, gives you the power mm-hmm. to discard 2 to take a face-up card eventually.
Yeah.
So basically, you always get to have 7 cards in your hand.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. So you can lock in 1 and then draw right away. And, of course, you can pick that up and look at it anytime you want, but you right. can't add it back to your hand.
Right. I like that.
So I think...
That's good.
Yeah. And you don't have to not lock it in from beginning to end of the day, right? You could lock in your lunch card if you want.
You could lock in any card.
Have space on both sides.
If you're smart, you'd lock in a work card first, because mm-hmm. if that's the first card out there, theoretically, you could work to either side of it, right?
How many different symbols for connections do you have? Do you have 3 or 5?
I haven't thought about that yet. Yeah. So I was kind of thinking, even if it was just like arrows, right? Like arrows and then like or something funny to do with bad luck, right? But like have 3, right? So top, middle, bottom, right? And that's
okay.
In fact, oh yeah, maybe maybe those are like how bad the luck is, right? So not so bad, not so good, real bad, right? Mm-hmm. And then what would be funny about that is you might actually use a like it's start and finish, right? So the start could be different, right? It could start out as a good card, but end on a real, real low, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe you're playing a card that's not as bad luck in the middle because you're trying to, because you're setting yourself up to play a really bad one next. Mm-hmm. So I think 3 would be a really simple way to manage it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think what you would do is... Yeah, so I was thinking that you know maybe there's for good luck cards, there's 3 arrows on each side of the card, you know, and then for middle luck cards, there's only 2 arrows, and then on real bad luck cards, there's only 1 arrow.
That actually, yeah, that'd be great.
You know,
yeah, that would work too.
And yeah,
so there's 13. So there's 13 cards of each type, with the exception of work, where there's 15, right? Because it was It was an odd number, so I thought, well, I'll just give the most to work since it's a double, which then makes those the hardest thing to get, right?
Right.
So I think this would play pretty easily 4 players.
Yeah, I think so. So there's a chance that somebody could get dealt a hand, and then as soon as they're on their turn, say, I've had the worst day, and just declare right away. and everybody gets one more turn. So there's a chance there that they could look around and see, well, I'm the only one that has a complete day. No one else here can make a complete day. I might as well just end the game right now.
Yeah, yeah, that could totally happen.
Yeah.
But it's no different than being Jin, right? I mean, or...
Yeah, well, I don't think Jin's a very good game, but...
Well, it's a classic, but, you know, yeah. Or being dealt a loner in Euchre, right? I mean, like, it happens.
It happens, right. But you're also playing multiple hands as well, you know? So...
Well, I mean, my guess is you'd be playing multiple games if someone did that, right? Nobody actually counts that as a win. Like, when somebody's like, oh, we're done, like, I call it right now. What's going to happen is everybody's going to take a turn, you're going to play, and then you're mm-hmm. probably going to play again.
Unless you're pissed off and then you put the game away.
At least one person's like, this was great!
Because these new and innovative mechanics are ruining the game.
I'm going to get called as innovative.
It's an interesting idea. I think you need to get some more complexity into it.
Well, that's what I was trying to.
Yeah, right. More meaningful decisions, maybe a little more control over game end or something would be nice. Do you need? Well, I was going to say, do you need the different card backs? But I guess you do.
Well, the different card backs, that was something I thought was kind of different. That would be fun is that you know what's coming. I kind of like that.
Yeah. Because if you don't know, if you're drawing from three different piles and you don't know what that card is, you really could just be getting anything. So it is meaningful to be able to look the card back and see what category that fits into. And it does help. It gives you the ability to control a little bit more.
And make better decisions,
right? Yeah. 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 I really like the idea that if you lock in one, you can draw two.
That just seems...
Because you're giving up one piece of flexibility in return for more flexibility later, you know?
Right, but you are anyways, because now, right? Because you can now short... So let's talk to this. So I have seven cards, right? Mm-hmm. I decide I lock in one. I draw another card. Now I'm still at seven cards, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I only need four of those. So now I have three cards that I don't care about, right? Maybe more than that. Because the other thing is being able to draw cards in that way means that I can short myself, right? Two turns in a row, I could discard two to get one, right? Because I could have less than five cards. That's okay because when I lock one in, I'm going to draw another one. Mm-hmm. Drawing two when I lock a card in, that's a lot of... I feel like that...
Well, it's exciting, though. It's exciting, and it's a big reward. It's really tempting.
But I think if you could lock in a card on your turn as a free action and then just draw a card, you could start your turn by saying, I'm going to lock this card in, get a free card, now I'm going to take my turn, right? So that automatically grants you an extra turn, basically, of drawing a card that you would have normally had to sacrifice for. So I think I would try it with one. If that didn't feel good, I would switch it to two.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. I don't hate that.
That said, I don't know that I would ever prototype this game or not, but, well, you know, I mean...
Yeah, I mean, we know that we don't prototype most of what we talk about.
Right, but...
Doesn't mean we shouldn't talk about it. All right, yeah. No, that's interesting. Do you have any more thoughts, or do you have a voicemail you want to listen to, or what do you want to hear?
We've got some voicemails here.
All right.
Let's pick one.
What did you call it again?
Sorry about your luck.
Sorry about your luck.
That's a phrase that people say that I think is mm-hmm. funny. Because you're not, when you say that, you're not actually sorry about someone's luck, you're just being a jerk.
You should call it sucks to be you.
Yeah. I could see, if I was actually going to make this, I could see a lot of publishers that wouldn't like sucks in the title.
Yeah.
So I know you don't worry about these things.
I don't.
Because you just love to offend everyone, but.
I like to innocently offend everybody. I enjoy that. Without doing any real harm.
We'll see about that.
You like your criticism to be much, much more pointed.
Yeah. Only to people that don't matter. That was a joke.
Oh, boy.
Only to people who don't care.
Mm.
Plus, I've heard you give plenty of pointed criticism about certain people in public. But again, they fit the criteria. They're people that will never hear your criticism, and even if they did, they wouldn't care.
That's true.
All right. Hey, let's listen to the voicemail.
How about this voicemail, Jason?
BG Lear, what's going on? Driving around on New Year's Eve, listening to the one episode that will be number 234. And you guys talking about zombies and how Dead of Winter has saturated the market, which I agree. And it got me thinking, I've recently started watching The Walking Dead from the beginning and, like, saturated, you know, I'm binging that. And that show is about zombies. And I think that the zombie craze, I can't prove this. I mean, I have to go look through research, but we don't do that in this show, was caused by The Walking Dead. Maybe the comic books, maybe the movie helped or the TV show helped push it along. And that TV show isn't really about the zombies, it's about the people. And that's why Dead of Winter was such a good game and why it's saturated, because it's not really about the zombies when you play that game. It's about the people and their action and making teams and yada, 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 where everything else is all about, oh, this is just a zombie. You know, lots of zombies on the board. I don't know. Just a thought. Talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you, sir.
Well, so first of all, he's absolutely correct. The Walking Dead is what caused that. And yes, for sure, that is what makes The Walking Dead so different from other zombie things, right? And that's also what makes Dead of Winter, is right? It's about the people.
Yeah.
The zombies are... I once heard somebody refer to the zombies in The Walking Dead as a natural disaster the people had to deal with.
Sure.
I feel like that's actually a really, really good description
of
that.
Yeah, that's a totally fair assessment, yeah. Yeah, yeah, I think he's right, and I think it's the Walking Dead comic that
yes,
yeah, you're not the TV show. The TV show followed after that, but it was the popularity of the comic book that started the big zombie craze.
Yeah, I mean the zombie craze had already started for sure when the show came out.
Yeah,
so.
Right. They were just capitalizing on that. I hate The Walking Dead. I haven't read the comic, but I hate the TV show. I find it just tedious.
Have you actually watched the TV show?
I've watched a few episodes. Yeah. I find it mind-numbing and boring, and I hate all the characters. And I'm so, so sick of zombies.
We know.
I'm just so sick of zombies. I have zero interest in it.
We've been doing the show for 5 years now, and in one of the very first episodes, you talked about how sick of zombies you were.
Oh, I thought maybe this was new information that I would be sharing with builders for the first time.
Nope, false.
Okay, well, next week's episode will be about how much I hate zombies, Jason.
Okay, we have another. We're going to listen to one more voicemail tonight.
No, but yeah, Len, you're absolutely right. I agree with you on that. And Dead of Winter is still an excellent game. Okay, go on.
BDG, Rockford, how's it going? I am off to work on Tuesday, the 16th of January, and yesterday, the 15th of January, I listened to your episode number something, and it had your moderator, Chris, and you were talking about randomness and dice rolling stuff and a game that would take 2 hours strategically. And there is one out there called Rolling Freight, which I would just Google it. It came up from 8 games, and basically the dice have these different colors on them. They're like, some of them are red, yellow, and blue. Some of them are split with 2 colors. And you roll a dice, and then depending on what dice you get, determine what actions you can take. So you spend those almost like getting action points. It's a pretty interesting game. I've only played it once. I'd like to play it a couple more times. I really enjoyed the one play I have. It's in my collection. It's awesome. And then another, lots of randomness, and then slowly mitigating it through the powers. And that's really hard to describe over the phone. It's terrible. But I would check it out. It also has a fun solo variant that I played a few times. But it's TC, you know, Jason hates him, and I love him, so that's cool. All right, keep it up, guys. Love it. Bye.
I have not played Rolling Freight, but I've heard of it, and I've heard that it's good.
I just want to clarify that I don't hate TC Petty.
You hate everybody, Jason.
I hate Matt Riddle. TC Petty's a really nice guy. I don't ever want to play his games, because I won't make his head get any bigger than it already is. And I told him that to his face. This is not new information for him. No, I would love to play a TC Petty game. I just never have. I was actually really, really sad when Don't Get Eated didn't fund on Kickstarter, because that party game looked crazy fun to me. I watched people play it at Unhub 1 year,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't get to play it, but I was really jealous because it looked really fun. So, mm-hmm. and yeah.
Okay. But thank you, Len, for sharing your thoughts with us. They're always enjoyable and much appreciated.
Indeed. Indeed.
Indeed.
All right.
So, we've got
some Twitter questions. I thought we'd save them for next episode.
That's fine.
There's several. They're good enough. I think we could make a topic out of that, Jazz.
Yeah, so, totally. Cool. All right. Well, then that's the end of that. If you want to get in touch with us, you can send an email to buildingthegamepodcast@gmail.com. You can also call our Google Voice number. That number is 770-TEL-BTG. You can follow us on Twitter at PodcastBTG. If you tweet at us, then Jason, who is at J.A. Slingerlin, will get in a fight with you.
He's probably right.
Yeah, and I am at poorly underscore designed. I will just sit quietly and wait for that to end.
You know who won't, though? Everyone else on Twitter.
Right. You can go to our website, which is buildingthegamepodcast.com, and through that you can buy our games. You can also buy a copy of Saloon Tycoon, find it at your local friendly local game store, or get it off Amazon. Unreal Estate will be coming soon, next couple of months, we think ish.
Indeed.
All right. I feel like, you can give us a 5-star review on iTunes.
On the iTunes
and on the Stitcher.
On the Google Play.
On the Play Google.
Play with Google.
And
as if you're Googling Play.
Okay, Google. Download BTG.
Does that work?
I don't know.
Probably not.
Hey,
well, no, there's no way that would work. Okay. Literally no way that would work.
Okay, I'm going to try something here real quick. Okay, you ready? You ready? Alexa, order more paper towels. So if anybody out there just had their Alexa try to buy them paper towels, I think it's really funny.
Yeah. Could you let us know?
Let us know.
We're going to have to put more of that in there. That's
right.
Fantastic.
If that messes with Alexa, then I want to know more so that I can do it again. All right. That's enough. We'll see you guys.
Good night.
Bye.
Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios. All of the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are property of the Building the Game podcast. Next time on Building the Game.
So you're saying Josh Mills said something that was intelligent?
Well, it was...
I'm not surprised. I think Josh is smart, but you have routinely said how stupid you think he is.
I don't think that I ever said that, Jason. I think you're the one who goes out of his way to criticize people on a regular basis.
Only some people. Matt Riddle, but I mean, they're usually people that have earned criticism.
Yeah, one more on the phones here. Yeah, no, I think you're the guy who hates, who is filled with hate.
I'm not filled with hate.
Well, you act like you are.
It's a facade.
It's a chemical imbalance.
No, a facade is a fake thing you put up. I don't know. Maybe you need a
dictionary. No. I know what a facade is. I'm just disagreeing with your with your root cause assessment.